We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome to In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots podcast. Your hosts are Michael McNamara and me, Ryan Schwan. It's all Pelicans, all the time.
Welcome to the show, Michael. One game for all the marbles, or at least for the honor of being destroyed by Golden State Warriors. One game!
Get Gennaro Pargo on the phone.
It is San Antonio.
One game at home.
Friggin' San Antonio.
Yep. At home. This is like a game seven against the Spurs. Only one who showed up that night was Pargo. What's he doing? Let's get him back.
So how are you feeling about this? Like, OKC, any chance, should we even have a discussion about OKC losing against Minnesota, or is it really Pelicans win or they're done?
There is no chance OKC loses to that Minnesota team we just watched. So
you didn't watch that Minnesota team, and it was only a 12-point win for the Pelicans. Like, they got some players who play basketball there.
No, that is not worth discussing. This is a win and you're in situation. Lose and you're out. I don't know. As people will probably hear from me on the podcast today, a shortened podcast, by the way. To me, everything moving forward is gravy. I'm very happy with the season so far. Happy the Pelicans are in this situation. But no, this is the only way they are getting in the playoffs is if they beat San Antonio. And, you know, I would have taken that a couple of weeks ago. Heck, I probably would have taken that before the season began, especially if you told me how many games Drew and other guys would miss.
Yeah, I mean, it is just nice to actually be watching games that matter after, say, January.
they mattered the last couple of years. We were just rooting for the other team.
Oh, right, that's true. We wanted the tank to be in full gear. So, yeah, San Antonio, they're coming up here. They unfortunately will also be playing for an objective. They're not just going to come into this and be like, oh, we're San Antonio and we like to not play half of our team a lot of the times. So here's a question. Any chance that Pop decides, you know, Monty and Dell, they used to be part of my organization, I'll be nice to them and sit half my team? Any chance?
I don't think that he would do it for that reason. I think there's a 2% chance that Pop just does the opposite of what everybody else does, has the ultimate I don't give a blank moment, and shows that he really doesn't care what seed he is in, and rests everybody for that reason. I mean, I think there's a very, very small chance that Pop does that. But no, is he going to put the well-being of Monty Williams or Dell Demps over himself and his own team? Not in a million years. But if they're thinking back on the Ginobili injury that happened in the last game of the season and saying, hey, we don't care what seed we are, who we play, we know that we're the best team in the NBA. The only thing that could derail that is an injury. Then I would say there's a small chance that they do that. But I wouldn't bank on it. And part of me doesn't want it. Of course, I'll take playoffs anyway. But, how great would it be to get into the playoffs by beating Golden State and San Antonio within, 10 days of each other?
It's true.
The only other consideration I could think of is, so San Antonio is there. They pretty much probably can decide. If they win that game, they'll be the 2 seed. If they lose that game, they'll be 3 seed. Do you think, right now, today, they'd be playing either Memphis or Dallas? It's possible that Memphis and the Clippers will also flip-flop. Do you think, last year, Dallas actually took them to 7 games in the first round, which nobody really expected. Do you think they're going to look at that and say, we don't even want to mess with Carlisle and his Mavs. Let's take the Grizzlies and let us slip the 3. And who's scared of the Grizzlies right now? Anyone?
I mean, if they lose that game, they probably slip to 6.
Okay.
So, no, I mean, you're talking about the difference of being the 2 seed and having home court in 2 straight series versus being the 6th seed, maybe 5th at best. If Memphis keeps losing, and there is no scenario in which they think that losing is what's best for them. Like I said, the only way is if they think they could beat anybody anytime, and the only thing that could derail them is injuries, and they want to prevent that because the bad feeling Manu has. But the other thing is they are going to try to win that game. But they are not going to play their guys 38 to 42 minutes.
Correct.
We can. I mean, we could play. What would be wrong with sitting Anthony Davis for 3 minutes in the second quarter and then literally never sitting him again and using all those official timeouts and all of your own timeouts to get him a break? There is a chance we could play Anthony Davis 45 minutes. There is nobody on that Spurs team that Pop will play over 35, in my opinion, even though he desperately wants to win the game. So there are little advantages here and there. You obviously have the home court advantage where Pelicans role players seem to play a lot better. The Spurs haven't exactly been great this year. I think they're 22-18 on the road, though, of course, they've been a lot better of late. I don't think it's an unwinnable game by any means, but I think you'd be foolish not to consider the Spurs the favorite.
Yeah, I mean, it is they are unbelievably hot right now. They've won 10 straight. They'll probably be at 11 straight when we reach that point. They have no more games. They're resting right now, aren't they? So they're going to come into Wednesday, and they'll be going for their 11 straight in a row. I don't know. They're scary as hell to me right now. Like if you had to pick a team in the league that you would least want to play, I would choose any team in the league other than San Antonio at this point.
There's absolutely no argument about that. I mean, there's no argument about that. This is the team, if they are going full out for a victory, would be the toughest team. And that's why, people keep saying the Pelicans need playoff experience. They need playoff experience. How different is this last couple weeks and specifically this game from playoff experience? I mean, you basically got a game 7 against the champs to move on to the next round. Of course, let's get this right out. Everybody wants the playoffs. There is not one person who doesn't want the Pelicans to make the playoffs. But how different is this game than what they are going to experience in the playoffs anyway. Win or lose, wouldn't you say that the Pelicans got playoff experience this year?
Absolutely. Yeah, and actually, I'm going to even go one better than that. Most people will not remember this because I don't even know how many people were reading it back then. But back when we were Hornets 24/7, back in 2007, when I was a fresh-faced blogger for the blog, just joining Niall Daugherty on it, we made it against the Dallas Mavericks first round, and everybody picked the Dallas Mavericks. Even though the Pelicans were the second seed, everybody was picking Dallas Mavericks to upset the Pelicans and or the Hornets. And the number one reason cited over and over and over again was, well, the Mavericks have playoff experience, and the Hornets have none, zero, no player on that team with any. And so I went and I pulled historically every single team that had entered the playoffs, had a higher seed, but had not been in the playoffs for the year before or 2 years before, like had not been in the playoffs for at least 3 years, and how they performed. And it was exactly how you would expect the higher seed to perform. They won the exact number of games like they played against when they weren't a team that had come out of the playoffs. It is really, there isn't a ton of early on in the playoffs. There's not a whole lot of correlation between experience and success. The first couple rounds, if you're the higher seed, you're going to waste the team that's the lower one. That's why I opened this whole thing with the honor of being slaughtered by Golden State, because the Pelicans will be slaughtered by Golden State if they make it. But it's later in the playoffs where those things sort of matter, where you're being really tested by basically equal teams, that it's really just execution and knowing each other on your team and how when you get hit this way to deal with that. And usually you don't get hit the hardest until you're in the playoffs. So you see a few more wrinkles than you would normally. So, you know, I think that just being in the situation where you're fighting for games is just as valuable as any sort of early round playoff experience.
Yeah, I mean, Monty has said it several times these past couple of weeks that they've basically been in the playoffs for a while now. They were, what, 3.5 back like 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been fighting. They've had this pressure on them. They've showed up in every game except for one, that Memphis game. I don't know where they were.
All right.
We won't discuss that one that much.
I don't know what game you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't remember it either. But, I mean, they've gotten that again. Everything, you know, everything would be better. I want us winning in San Antonio. I want the Pels to make the playoffs, even if they do get demolished in the first round. But, you know, I just hesitate to announce this season, you know, any less of a success if they lose to, I mean, this Spurs team is not only playing well, I would say they are playing better right now than any team at any point of this year. And Atlanta won 19 straight. Golden State has had some huge stretches, but you know, I watch a lot of teams and, you know, I watch a lot of games. These Spurs games that I've been seeing lately, like, I haven't seen a team play like that on both sides of the ball all year. I mean, yeah, they're hitting their threes. They got their ball movement, but they've taken their defense to an absolute another level. Kawhi Leonard is playing better than any single player has played for the Spurs since Duncan was in his prime. Kawhi Leonard is playing better right now than Tony Parker has ever played, right, in my opinion, when you consider both ends of the floor. Like, their last 14 games, they've blown out two teams. They beat a desperate, going for it Houston team at home by a point, and then they lost one game to Dallas. I mean, they haven't won 12, you know, those 12 out of the 14 games. They blew teams out. You know, they've been the best team I have seen all year for any stretch. And, you know, you get in the playoffs by beating that team and, you know, it doesn't matter what happens in the first round. You could hang your head on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you take a look at, you're saying that, like, the last 10 games that they've won, there's only two crappy teams on that entire list. They won in Orlando and versus Denver. and, you know, the Orlando game they won by 12, and the Denver game they won by 30. And every other team, unless you feel like Phoenix now qualifies to being crappy, which maybe they do, they feel like they gave up a little while ago, or if you feel like Miami is crappy, but they were playing for a playoff, so you can't take them lightly, and they still beat them by 14. They've beaten nothing but good teams. OKC, Dallas, Memphis, Golden State, Houston. I mean, it's scary.
Yeah.
And we got to take them down. So how do we take down the San Antonio Spurs? What does the Pelicans have to do to take out this juggernaut?
I mean, the main thing is, you know, that I see is it's got to be as simple as you've got to have the top games from the top guys. It feels like in most games this season, you get the A game from two or three guys, the F game from two or three guys, and then, you know, the rest of them are right in the middle. I don't know, outside of maybe that first Minnesota game early in the year, you know, I can't think of many other games, but maybe one or two are in there. But, like, what's a game where everybody was just going? I mean, like, even recently, now, you know, now AD is back, but Quincy Pondexter can't hit anything. And it's, you know, it's just got to be one of those games where we know every guy individually is capable of it. You know, but all of those guys, they can't be tight. They just got to go out there and play, and they got to hit. And then on the defensive end, I think you just got to decide on who beats you. I mean, the pick and roll is they're going to pick and roll the Pelicans to death. I don't think you could leave the shooters. I think, you know, you got to give them different looks. You start the game by seeing if Tony Parker's 20 footer is on. If it is, then maybe you blitz him and make Aaron Baines and Diaw beat you. You know, you got to try different things. But I think the defensive end, as much as I could try to come up with strategies, honestly, if the Pelicans win this game, it'll be because a couple of Spurs are off, not because the Pelicans did something tremendous on defense, because they just don't have the personnel. If the Miami Heat got blown off the floor, you know, in the finals last year when the Spurs were playing at this level, the Pelicans do not have the defenders, you know, to really give San Antonio trouble. You could try a couple different things, but more than anything, you just got to hope a couple guys are off.
Any chance they could just outscore the Spurs?
I think if this game is played 100 times and the Pelicans win 40, 30 to 35 of those times are because they just got into, you know, a game and they outscored them, kind of like that, you know, Oklahoma City game where they couldn't stop Russell, but AD went off too, and then he hits that three at the buzzer. So, yeah, I think that's the most likely recipe for a Pelicans win, is you get everybody going. You get the Drew and Ryan Anderson that we had against Houston, combined with the Quincy Pondexter we had prior to these last three games, combined with top-level AD and Tyreek, you know, not making mistakes. I mean, you get all those guys, and then you just try to outscore them.
Unfortunately, the team will be at home, so Ryan Anderson has a pretty good chance of hitting shots.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of starting to have his moments in that Houston game, and he's a tricky shooter. Hopefully he comes out of it. But what I like is that the Pelicans have the depth. I mean, they are going into this game with every single player available. Now, Drew, I think that's the X factor. He's been at 15 minutes. Did the doctors let him go up to 20, 24? Does he stay at 15? I don't know. But everybody is available, and, you know, first half, if Rhino is off, maybe you see more Cunningham in the second half. You know, Norris Cole is another guy, too. He's a guy that you could almost tell instantly whether he's on that night. I mean, there's games where he starts hot and you could ride him to 15 to 19 points, and there's games where he just looks absolutely awful. If that's the case, you know, more Gordon, maybe more Quincy at the two.
Wait. Did you just say more Gordon?
I mean, if you want to talk about an X factor,
that's true.
I mean, you're talking about a guy who we saw in a Clippers game play 42 minutes and didn't make a field goal, and then we see in other games the guy goes like 7 of 9 for 3. So, you know, I like the fact that you know, you play the first quarter, you see how guys are going, what's on, what San Antonio's doing. You know, but with this team, luckily now you have the depth and you have the options where you have a lot of streaky guys on this team. Second half, you know, like I said, maybe you don't have to take AD out at all. You know, maybe you ride Tyreek all the way if he's going, Gordon all the way he's going. But, you know, it's at least something the Pelicans now have as a luxury. I mean, remember at the beginning of this season how many articles we had about who could be the Pelicans' seventh man? Mm-hmm. Because we had six solid players and, like, 7 through 12 stunk. And now I would say there's, you know, there's 10, 11 guys that I could trust in the right situation going into this final game. So, you know, that's a good thing to have.
Yep. I will say I do. We're not really talking about the games that led up to this point because we're just so excited about what's going forward. But I do want to say, I think last, the return of Jrue Holiday, that was the first game I have ever, like, missed that I wasn't on Twitter live, just to see what the reaction was when he enters the floor and a minute and 30 seconds later, Anthony Davis is injured and gone to the locker room. Like, I could just imagine you sitting there steaming, like, finally, your dream moment, Jrue and Anthony Davis on the floor together. And Anthony Davis immediately gets injured and has to go to the locker room.
The sad thing is that if it were an option, if I could have bet in Vegas, will a major Pelican get injured during this game, I would have honestly bet yes. I mean, that's I wasn't surprised at that point. I was, you know, I was glad that it was a blow to the trachea, which, you know, it hurts, and there could be some problems, but I felt like, you know, it was something that at worst would just leave him out for that game. It wasn't something where, like, he came down on a knee or, you know, I had no fears that it was a long-term thing. But, yeah, I mean, it didn't surprise me in the least. It was kind of expected, to be honest.
Yeah, I was expecting to, like, find out before this podcast that you had broken half the crap in your living room.
No, I mean, but a couple of things that people are breaking crap about. So
Okay. There's
two things I want to talk to you about just because people are talking about them, and, you know, I'm sure they want to hear our opinion, and I honestly don't know yours, so I'm curious about. So thing number one that just got Pelicans fans fuming today is for the second time in a couple of weeks, the NBA rescinded a technical on Russell Westbrook. He would have missed today's game against Portland, which obviously if OKC would have lost, the Pels would be in the playoffs right now. What did you think about that whole situation and how it went down?
So I will say that in general, rescinded technicals happen all the time. That is something that if you pay real attention, they're pulling them. They're taking them back all the time. I can remember one year where Chris Paul had like three of them rescinded over the course of the year. And it's typically when they say something, but they didn't demonstrate like real physical aggression, or it's something that wasn't like overt and disrespectful to the point where fans might be a little offended by it, that they tend to take them back. And so it's not surprising that it happens because it happens a lot. But I will admit that I was kind of pissed off when I saw it because I'm like, come on, just like there isn't any way you could do that and not have it look like you're just trying to let the players decide things, which maybe on one hand, that's a good thing, but at least it looks that way. I don't necessarily think it is that way, but sometimes perception becomes kind of reality. If you don't think that at some point, like in the next few years, somebody's going to be making jokes about how they helped OKC try to make the playoffs, I mean, you're just kidding yourself at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I really didn't have any problem with it until the Rod Thorne essentially released a statement on it in which he said that he didn't think this technical, you know, basically warranted a suspension. But it's not this technical. It's right. The 16. So, you know, just because this is the last one doesn't mean, I mean, so based on that logic, that for a player 16 technical, they got to get some super technical, you know, mm-hmm. because it's got to be worth the one game. And it's just, you know, I don't like that. A rule is a rule for a reason. You know, Westbrook, he got himself here. I mean, how many Pelicans on this roster are in the position to pick up their 16th technical foul? None, and none are even close. Because yep. they, you know, they respect the game and they respect the guys on the court. So, you know, it's not something. I had no problem with it until Thorne gave that logic to me. That just doesn't make any sense. The technical didn't get him suspended. All of the technicals got him suspended. So if this wouldn't have been rescinded, if it was his fourth technical, which by that explanation, it sounds like it wouldn't have, then it shouldn't have been rescinded this time. And, you know, but that being said, first of all, I don't know if Portland even wins tonight if Westbrook is out. I mean, they were out as many guys, if not more, and guys kept getting injured during the game. And secondly, you know, if the Pelicans don't make the playoffs, it's not like we could say, man, OKC caught some breaks this year.
Right. No kidding. Like, that's like my one thing is I really like to hate teams that I'm like fighting with. And I just kind of feel sorry for OKC at this point. Like, you know, Ibaka and Durant and Roberson, and like, they have had as bad injury luck as we have. And let's be 100% honest here. You give us a full roster for a season, and you give them a full roster in the season. Which of these two teams is having a better record?
Oh, it's a 10-game difference minimum.
Right.
Yeah.
So if they make the playoffs, they have a better team. So I can't really feel bad that they make the playoffs over us. If it was like Portland, who I just hate on principle, and by the way, the fact that they arrested LaMarcus Aldridge makes me just want to. Yeah. Never mind. If it was Portland I was rooting against, then, you know, if Lillard had been kneecapped by an angry fan earlier in the season, I would have been good. He deserved it. But
yeah, I mean,
I can't do that with OKC.
If we miss the playoffs, the one argument you could make is, you know, man, we were better than Dallas. There is nobody else that the Pelicans, you know, if we always play this game, oh, if we would have been healthy this year. If everybody is healthy in the West this year, Dallas is the only team you could make a semi-argument for that the Pelicans would have been better over an 82-game season. So if you want to make that, then fine, make that argument, which leads into the second thing that people talk a lot about, so let's just do it and get it over with and never talk about it again. Let's say worst, you know, comes on Wednesday, the Pelicans lose, they miss out on the playoffs by one game. What will be the one game that or one moment or whatever that nips at your buds?
Okay. I will pick one game and one game only. Play along with the game. It is the San Antonio loss earlier in the season, when Omer Asik knocked the ball into San Antonio's basket, tying the game with like an eighth of a second left, and allowing them to go overtime and beat us. That's the one. Because that game, it had like, it was so sweet. We were playing San Antonio to the end. We were overcoming a really good team. It was early in the season when you're just starting to feel good about these guys that maybe they're going to do it and blah, 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 blah. And then just you get kicked in the nuts. And that's the one moment. Like those losses against really crappy teams, they bother me, but not like that one. That one was just like, that was a good win that we earned, that our team went out and fought for. And it was ripped away by one of the stupidest, luckiest, crappiest moments I've seen in a basketball game.
Yeah, the one, and first of all, I just want to say, I'm just doing this because everybody else talks about it. It's really something that bothers me a lot because to me, I'm all about balance, and people want to have this conversation, then you should also have the conversation about the games we should have lost or the games Oklahoma City should have won. Right. That would be a balanced conversation. You know, let's talk about Ilyasova missing a wide open three. Because I could say if he makes that three, we're not even, you know, having a chance on Wednesday. So it goes both ways. But the one, if I have to answer this question, that nips at me a little bit, is Anthony Davis rolling his ankle in the practice before the Phoenix game.
That's true.
Because that Phoenix game, I mean, like, Phoenix lied, just were laying down. They were dead. That game was easy to – but it's not only that. Then Tyreek and Omer go out and get hurt in that game. And then they're not available pretty much for the rest of the road trip. Well, actually, Tyreek tries to play the next day for whatever reason against Golden State and winds up getting hurt some more. So then he can't play in the Clippers game, which is the game AD comes back for. So, like, it started this chain of events that, you know, the Pelicans, in my opinion, would at least have gone 1-2, if not possibly 2-1 on that road trip. But AD rolling that ankle in a stupid walkthrough the day before Phoenix, you know, if I could go back and change anything in the season, that would be the thing that I would change.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of forgot about that game. And that was a hard game to watch, too. It was like 74-72, I think. And you're just like, ah, I cannot believe we don't have the firepower to take this team out. It's almost like that Minnesota game tonight, but you never really felt like they weren't going to take that team out. It was just really ugly, and you're kind of like, why aren't we beating them by 30?
Yeah. But. Yeah. I mean, we could talk about it for 2 or 3 minutes here, just get through. I'm sure people are way more excited about San Antonio game. But team goes 3-2 over the 5 since the last podcast, which is right down the middle of what I predicted and what you predicted. I think the shining moment by far is that Golden State win. But what were your main takeaways from the 5-day stretch or anything specific?
I mean, I'll be 100% honest. Watching that series, that whole those games, this team is a average team that some nights have it and some nights doesn't. It's really that it comes down to it that I don't feel like this team is going to have like some amazing run. It's not like suddenly clicking over the last few games. Like they have a nice record over the last bit, but it doesn't feel like they've just figured it out. And like San Antonio has, where they just slotted in all the pieces and suddenly they're a well-oiled machine. It's still like, oh, I got a wrench over here and an axle over here and a bolt over here. And, well, the bolt and the axle work, but I don't know how to make this wrench really make it turn. And so I don't expect anything amazing out of it, but there were some great moments. Like, the Golden State win was fun as hell. I even liked some of the Houston game until the free throws got a little too much to take. But, you know, it was a good still stretch, and I'm glad we sat through it, and we're in a position where we can root for this final game. Like the Minnesota game, who wants to even like talk about that kind of game? That game was just a slog. Like the Pelicans knew they should beat that team, the other team knew they should be beaten, but the other team was still going to just play hard and make them work for it, and everybody was going to foul the crap out of everybody.
Yeah, I mean, looking back at that Golden State game, I honestly don't know how they won it. I don't think they played that well. I'll say the Pelicans did not play close to well enough over these last 5 games to expect to beat San Antonio if they play how they play. I mean, maybe if you put together the Houston first quarter with the Golden State third quarter with, you know, Minnesota's second quarter from tonight, like, you could find a couple of different pieces and patch them all together, but they
you don't want a quarter from Memphis?
Oh my God! but they not in any of these games that they have played, and I'd say in a while. I mean, what is the last? What would you say is the best game they played, win or loss, since like All-Star break? What stands out to you?
You know, you asked me this the other day, and I, I really struggled coming up with one, honestly.
I mean, I think offensively the one I was most impressed by was the game at Milwaukee.
Yeah, I think I agree with
Milwaukee
that.
Milwaukee was a top defense. Anthony Davis just absolutely dominated in that game, whatever. But, like, I'm sorry, this team has not had a good 48 minutes of basketball since I don't know when. I can't think of the last time I left a game going, wow, that was, you know, a good all-around game. So they are going
to... They had a good win over Atlanta at the beginning of February that I remember liking.
Yeah, it wasn't like the Golden State game where they were down a lot and then just had one surge. They played pretty good throughout that game. So, it's been a while. And they're going to have to play their best game in the last month or two to beat San Antonio, which, you know, is fine with me. And like I said, I mean... The only way I leave Wednesday upset, literally the only way, is if a major injury occurs. There is nothing else that...
What if they get crushed? They lose by 40.
Now they experience what it's like to have a must win. The champ stepped on their throat, and they go into the off season, you know, incredibly humble and hungry. Yeah, I don't think it would be the worst thing that, no, I mean, the only thing that would really have me down Wednesday is if a major injury occurs. Worst case scenario, we lose, go into the off season with everybody healthy and ready to rehab and hungry, getting a little taste of what the playoff hunt is like. I don't think I could leave Wednesday upset unless a major injury occurs.
All right, so let's bring this to a close. You got to make your prediction. Do the Pelicans, and we'll make it a bundle prediction. Do the Pelicans make it to the playoffs this season? Does OKC lose or do the Pelicans win? Either one can happen.
I say sadly no. OKC wins and the Pelicans lose 105-100. But they do get free fries. People get free fries going into the offseason.
At least you're considerate for the fans. I am going to say no as well, unfortunately. And I think San Antonio has the second best defense in the league. Can you, like, people talked about this team like it was dead a month ago. And they have the second best defense in the league.
And that's over the course of a season. I'm telling you, it's not hyperbole. The version of San Antonio that we've seen over the last month is the best team in the NBA this year. Take any team, any time, any stretch. And they're almost hitting on the same cylinders that we all saw them play with against Miami. This a win would be something that there should be a mini riot at the SKC if the Pels pull it off. This is as tough as it gets.
I'm calling 97-93 San Antonio.
All right.
All right, so thanks, everybody, for listening to In the Know. We will have a podcast before our usual scheduled Monday thing because, of course, either we'll be talking really excitedly about a Golden State matchup in the first round of playoffs or really semi-sadly, not fully sadly, about the end of our season. So thanks, everybody, for listening to In the Know, and we'll be back a little later this week.